Right, pet owners are being told they must remain vigilant as it relates to a disease, and that disease indeed is Alabama rot disease. To discuss this, Peter Wedderburn, Pete Wedderburn is a vet, TV3 vet. I'm sure you're well familiar with him. He joins us on the programme right now. Good morning to you, Pete.
Good morning.
Right, so this is potentially deadly, and it's now been confirmed in Ireland. What do we know? What is the background to it?
Well, it's first thing I want to say is it's exceptionally rare. So, you know, there's been something like 65 cases in the UK over the last 5 years, which when there's a population of many, many millions of dogs, is an extremely low incidence. So the fact that there's been two cases in Ireland in the last couple of years has hit the headlines because it's new here, but that doesn't mean that it's something that's likely to affect pets. You know, the average person listening to this show will never come across this in any animals that they see. So it's not something people should be panicking about in any way.
Presumably then, is it difficult to spread, or how does it go from one animal to the next?
But that's one of the problems is they don't exactly know what causes it. It remains a mystery, and that's the problem. The name Alabama rot is probably what makes people feel anxious about it, because it sounds terrible. It sounds like some sort of flesh-eating bug that's going to, you know, cause bits of your animal to fall off before they die. It sounds horrible. Now, the less media-friendly name is cutaneous and renal glomerular vasculopathy, and that's what it really is. But people called it that. It would never be talked about on the radio, would it?
No, it certainly wouldn't be talked about by me, because I would struggle to come up with that. So it's good that it's pretty rare. And is it staying steady, not even just within Ireland, but beyond Ireland? In other words, it's something it's no harm to be aware of, but we're not seeing necessarily increased cases of it. I mean, is it particular to a certain climate or a certain breed or a certain country?
Well, what they do have some things about it that give hints as to what's causing it. It seems to be more common through the autumn to the early spring. So it's more or less like a winter time illness. It seems to be associated with woodland and especially rotting woodland vegetation. So there are some parts of the country, like in England, the New Forest region, there's been a higher number of cases there. And what they think it is that there's a particular kind of bacteria called E. coli that people will have heard of from causing other diseases. But what E. coli bacteria can do is to produce toxins. And it seems that some versions of E. coli produce some particular types of toxins which affect dogs in this way, which is what they call this Alabama rot.
And it's got really quite horrible symptoms and consequences. Well, and they're so horrible and it's so rare, I wonder if we should upset any dog owners with them this morning.
I think probably one of the reasons why it's been seen more commonly is because people are diagnosing it more often, because owners are aware of what the signs are.
So what should we look out for then, Pete?
So basically, affected dogs, first of all, they show skin rash, which is like blisters or ulcers around the mouth or at the end of their legs or on their underside, little blisters or ulcers. And, you know, dogs may get these things and people may think nothing of them. But because of this new disease, people should pay more attention to those kind of things. If your dog does get blisters or ulcers around their face or on their underside or on their legs, it is worth going to the vet, okay? And because the problem is that if you just leave it, what happens is that about a week later, the dog develops fatal kidney failure. So in other words, the dog's kidneys just stop working, and if nothing can be done, the dog unfortunately passes away.
Does early intervention improve the prospects?
Yes. So if you were able to spot that this is beginning to happen, you could then start to give very intensive treatment for kidney disease by giving lots of fluids to flush out the toxins and all that sort of stuff. So there'd be some chance that you might save the animal. So I think that's probably the main message. Is that if your dog does develop a strange skin rash of any kind, don't ignore it. Do go to your vet and do mention to your vet, could this be Alabama rot?
Okay.
And that's really, I think, as much as you need to do. But it's not like there are some new diseases that come around, like viruses that spread through hundreds of dogs and there are epidemics. This is nothing like that. This is just a completely, almost like a random periodic thing which most pet owners will never encounter.
Okay, indeed. Thanks for that, Pete. Now, I mentioned, of course, people might know you from TV3, but also a very popular column in the Telegraph, excuse me, and you've written a book to complement that and, I suppose, to pick out some highlights that you have chosen. It's a month on the shelves now, being well received too, Pete.
Yeah, it's going great. It's been selling well, and I'm delighted with it. My aim in life is to spread good information about pets, and one of the best ways to spread good information is to put that information into stories that people like reading. So the book contains 22 stories of my life and practice, with some of the more intriguing and mysterious and fascinating cases that I've seen. And so the owner, the reader kind of works through with me from when you see the case as a vet, how you puzzle out what's happening, and finally what happens to the animal at the end of the day. So there's 22 stories, and if you like stories about animals, I think you'd enjoy the book.
And there's a mixture of emotions in reading the book, I presume.
Yeah, so there are some upbeat stories where I find out what's going on with the animal and I fix the problem, and everybody's happy at the end. But the way that life is, there are some cases that when you work out what's going on, you discover that it actually is something sinister and untreatable. And so some of the stories don't end so happily, because that's what life's like, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And it's useful, I think, sometimes too, for younger people to have pets, because, you know, it helps them to sort of learn the range of emotions that we inevitably have to go through life.
Yes. Love is a great thing to have in your life, whether it's love of a person or love of a pet. But the other side of the coin of love is loss, because when that person or animal passes away, well, you've got to come to terms with the fact they're not there anymore. So, yes, my book does include some of both sides of that coin. It'd be a good gift for somebody. If you know somebody who's an animal lover, I think they'd enjoy, it'd be a gift that they'd appreciate, because I think we all like reading stories.
Yeah, for sure. Just a question as it relates to the disease we were talking about. Of course, wondering how it got into the country in the first place. Do we know that?
Well, we don't know, because we it may even have been here. It's one of those things that could have just sort of be existing and just hadn't been identified before. Animals have always died of illnesses that where we haven't been sure what's happened, and it's only when you start to look for a particular thing that you find it. So it's possible it could have been here at a low level anyway without anybody even realizing it.
And another caller curious, do we know if it can cross sort of between animals? In other words, could it affect cattle, for instance?
No, there's no it hasn't been recorded in other animals or indeed in people.
Okay, Pete, listen, thanks for chatting to us. Your book is Pet Subjects, isn't it? And it's available
now.
It is,
yeah. You'll find it in most bookshops right now, yes.
Super, Pete, thank you. Lovely to chat to you this Saturday morning.
All right.
That's Pete Wedderburn there. So a warning for you, albeit rare, if you do spot those signs and you get to the vet, the outcome is much more likely to be positive.